time for Hype and Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
Well, one thing's for sure, I need some new headphones. Stat.
Yeah,
not today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not next week. Right now.
You've been complaining about it, so I figured that's going to happen soon.
You take away a blind man's good set of headphones, and it's like taking off the head of a wildebeest. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm okay. I'm not great. Pollen count's medium high, and it's going to be high the rest of this week, so I'm just going to be suffering for a while over here.
Medium high pollen count.
Yeah.
Why is it... Wait. Hold on.
What?
See... Things... Okay, so... We tried to record a show a little earlier, and there was a little bit of a technical problem. See, when you put audio into the computer, it makes this thing called WAVs. You might have heard of it if you've ever watched the TV when they have like one of those crime shows and they go to analyze somebody's voice. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows us these little like
right. Or, you know, anybody out shapes. There that's a podcaster kind of knows this from editing.
Well, what happens is you speak words and then it goes into the computer as shapes. And we call those WAVs. Got it, everybody? There will be a test. And you kind of want, for good results, you want your WAVs to have a nice, healthy shape to them. You know, you don't want them to be too small. You don't want them to be too big. You don't want them to be, like, blocky. You just want a nice, healthy shape to them, kind of consistent. And ours were just way too small. Like, we had to turn all the headphones up to just hear anything. And I went, there's no way that we can provide that kind of quality, or lack thereof, to an audience that has come to expect what you might call a superb level of content, a.k.a. the Hyper Nonsense subscriber. So...
Singular subscriber.
Yeah, the one.
Oh, come on. There's got to be at least five or
well,
six.
I haven't looked at our Patreon page lately, but I think we still have two backers.
Okay, so there's at least two.
I think that means we still have at least two listeners.
Yeah.
So... I said, nope, not going to do it, can't be done, got to figure out what's going on. Now, a couple days ago, I had pulled a cable out of the back of our rig because I thought I needed it for something else. And in order to do that, I had to actually pull two cables. And, you know, a lot of these things, like, you just kind of plug them in once. Like, I don't, you know, we don't break down our entire audio rig after every show. We used to do that back in '06. Those days have long since passed. So, you know, I'd popped a couple of these cables out and I couldn't quite remember where they went. I sort of had a general idea and I put them in back where I thought they were supposed to go. It didn't quite work right. Nothing was working. Tried a couple other combos, pulled the things out, did stuff. Finally, got everything back into the right place. And one thing that happened a few weeks ago is my trusty pair of Yamaha headphones that I've used for like probably 4 years or something like that. Well, they finally actually fell apart on me. So I went for the only spare decent set of headphones I have, which are these Tascam phones I'm wearing now. And wow, do they suck. Like, they would be fine, and really, my only intent for them ever was, if we had a guest in here, you know, they could wear them, because if you're a guest, you don't care. I mean, you just need to hear. It doesn't make any difference. But when you're the chief architect of sound, it makes a difference. You need to be able to hear everything. And with the Yamahas, I could hear everything. So I'm like trying to figure out settings. And I know I'm not getting the full range of sounds in these cans. So if the show sounds horrible, blame Tascam. Send your angry tweets to them. Send us your angry tweets. We'd like to just get some tweets.
Sure, that'd be cool. Start reading off tweets on the show.
So just tell us that, you know, tell us if the show sucks. I mean, you can tell us if the show sucks for content. We already know that it kind of does. But you can tell us if the show sound sucks also. So
don't just tell us we suck. Tell us how and why.
Yeah, we want the details.
Yeah.
This system that I have for checking iTunes reviews, I think, has finally died forever.
Okay.
So I have no idea if we've had any new iTunes reviews. That's one way you can tell us that we suck, but we'd rather that you told us that we suck directly, because that can...
Well, then we can do something about it. You know, we'll find it.
Well,
we'll see,
we can still do something about it, but the thing is...
But we won't find it as easily on the iTunes thing.
It won't affect us negatively in the iTunes store ranking.
Okay,
if everybody goes on there and goes, 1 star, this pod has too much bass and or treble in it. 1 star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're never going to be number one on the iTunes. It's never going to be us and This American Life fighting it out neck and neck for pod supremacy.
Sure.
So what happened to you? You went to a doctor. Now, I did say this on the last pod that was produced was me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave kind of the quick story of you actually going to the doctor and you getting your blood draw done. But at that time, we didn't have any results on that. So what happened to you?
Okay, so you want me to pick up just from the results?
Yeah, just start let's at least
where you want me to start?
Let's at least make sure this is filled in, because I don't know. And by the way, I don't know if is filled a proper past tense for fill?
I don't know.
Like, you know, learnt.
Learnt
or
okay.
Built.
Well, I don't know, man.
Filled. We need to filled everyone in. We need to make sure everyone is filled in.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing is that one of the reasons that you went to the doctor to begin with is you were certain that you had the arthritis.
Well, yeah, there's kind of a couple of reasons, and I'll summarize. I originally made a doctor's appointment because I had a sinus infection, and I wasn't able to fight it off. And then by the day of the appointment was the same day that the people came here to fix the water heater and put in new lights and everything. So I didn't really want to go because I'd never been to this place before, and I'm terrible at finding new places. So I didn't really want to go, but I also felt that I'd fought it off. I was feeling better, you know? So I, you know, called and canceled and said, yeah, I don't need to go. I think I fought off the sinus infection. You know, can she just, you know, can the doctor just write me a prescription for my EpiPen? It's about to expire. And they said, no, you have to come in for that. So I said, okay, make a new appointment. I'll come in for that. So I went in. And when I went in, my intention was, of course, to get the EpiPen and to do the whole, like, new patient thing and get that the hell out of the way. And, you know, they ask you, like, every question you can possibly think of that relates to your health and then try to put it in the computer, that whole fun thing. You know, it takes, like, I swear I was doing that longer than actually talking to the doctor the first time I went in, you know. So I went in, and my doctor's awesome, it turns out. Had never seen her before, didn't know anything about her, so it's good that she's, you know, she's cool. And told her I needed an EpiPen, and here's why. And she said, you know, where would you like the prescription to go? All done, got the EpiPen, all set. My other plan was to get tested for rheumatoid arthritis, because it runs in my family, and I seem to have had all the symptoms for it. You know, I've been told forever it starts when you're about 30, you start feeling it in your hands and feet, and it spreads from there, and, you know, there's no cure, and all that. My grandmother had it, my father had it, some of my aunts and my uncle had it. I don't know if my cousins have it, you know, but the one side of the family.
I think the first time that, at least I thought, based on you and things that you were saying that, you know, you might actually have some kind of arthritis is when we went to BlizzCon the first time.
Right.
So that was 2013. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we're not the smartest people that ever lived, we decided we would try to walk from the Anaheim train station to our hotel.
Yeah.
And you were in really bad shape by the time we got to
it. I was. And in addition to that, just walking around the conference, it was very cold in there in 2013. And yeah, that's not good for arthritis in general, for rheumatoid anyway, because I know, like, my relatives, if they're in cold, their joints are stiffer. It's harder to move. It hurts more, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, just this sort of thing. So I thought I may as well get tested for this and know for sure.
And there had been, over the years, you know, plenty of times when we had done, you know, a decent amount of walking, say, in the course of a day. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, you know, the last time we went to Chicago, which wasn't that long ago compared to 2013, 2011. It was 2 years.
It was 2011.
It was two-year difference. Right. It wasn't like it had been 9 years.
No.
And, you know, we had done other things since then where we had been out for a fair part of the day. And, you know, that was the first time in that BlizzCon 2013 mm-hmm. where I went, well, this is not how it usually is. So
right. And, you know, part of it is, as far as I understand it, rheumatoid arthritis, I don't know about osteo, but rheumatoid arthritis has to do with inflammation, and allergies have to do with inflammation. And my allergies were getting worse. Because I'm getting older, I can't fight it off as much, I guess. And so I figured this is connected. This has to be what it is. You know, I looked up the symptoms. They matched what I had, matched things my parents had said, that their doctors had said, you know. So I figured I probably have this. I may as well get this, you know, tested. And part of it was just, you know, common sense. If, you know, you should find out if you have a disease that runs in your family if you think you have it. You know, I mean, that's just good. You know, makes sense. Go find out. You can find out. They can tell you yes or no if you have it. They can, you know, figure out what to do about it. You know, it's just smart, right? And I had access because I have Medicaid, so I can do it, you know? Right. I don't have to worry about costs. So I figured, all right, I'm going to do this. And I talked to my doctor and I said all these things, like, here's, you know, this is the symptoms I'm having and all this. And she, like, asked, you know, does ibuprofen help? I'm like, not all the time, you know? And she, like, tested the joints in my fingers and kind of, like, squeezed them to see how they were, because you can test for, like, little nodes for rheumatoid, you know? Mm-hmm. She didn't feel any, and she's asking me, you know, how much pain are you in and all that, and decided it was a good idea to go ahead and get me tested. And so she ordered a blood test, and she said, all right, well, you know, we have a lab down the hall, and, you know, you can go and get this tested. And she asked if I'd eaten anything that day, and I'd eaten, like, a handful of trail mix before I came over there. And she's like, okay, well, you can't do it today because you have to fast for 12 hours, right? So, you know, pick another day and just come in. And I'm like, well, do I need an appointment? And she said, well, you don't need an appointment. They just take people all day long. So just go in, you know, and we'll give you paperwork, hand them this paperwork, and they'll know what to do. And then, you know, we'll make an appointment for a week after that, and then we'll, you know, talk about the results. So I'm like, okay, you know, I can do that. So went home, did the whole fasting thing for 12 hours, right? Didn't eat anything. I don't think I drank anything either. You know, I was just like, I want to make sure that there's no screw ups with this. And, went in the next day, woke up that morning and was really, really allergic, which is not unusual for me. Okay. Well, the pollen count wasn't as high as today, but it just was one of those days. You know, I wake up sick fairly often for allergies. And so I woke up and I just couldn't get moving because I just couldn't, you know, I wasn't breathing right yet. I was wheezing. I didn't have any energy at all. I'm like, I need some more time. So by the time we got over there, we decided to take the bus because I was getting a blood draw and I didn't know if I would pass out because I'm borderline anemic too. And that tends to happen. So, and, you know, I asked one of the medical assistants, you know, at the doctor's office, you know, how much blood are they going to draw? And they said, oh, probably, you know, it's not much. It's just 4 vials. I'm like, all right, I'll take the bus. I might not be able to drive home. So we took the bus, you know, just to be safe, and went there, came in, you know, had the paperwork. I'd been fasting for more than 12 hours or probably about 12 hours at this point. We figured we'd hit just right. So it'd be 12 hours, all set. We get up to the lab and they're closed for lunch. And nobody said a word about this. Okay. Yeah. Not a word. I'm like, the lab is literally like almost across the hall, you know, from the doctor's office. It's right there. It's like, nobody noticed this, that they go for lunch, you know? What's no one mentioned it, you know? Was I supposed to assume that they go for lunch? I mean, nobody said, they just said go over there whenever, you know? You don't need an appointment, just go in. All right, I'm here. They can't help me. I'm like, well, that's great, you know? So we, you know, Sean was saying, well, we could try coming back tomorrow or we could just wait. And I didn't want to like do the whole fasting thing again because it's not good for me, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not healthy to begin with. It's just, fasting is not an ideal situation for me and my health anyway. And I'd done it and I didn't want to do it again. So I said, okay, we're just going to wait. And I was like the grumpiest person ever because I hadn't had any food in that long. It's like, you know, the Snickers bar commercials, you know, like I should have had a yeah. Snickers, but I couldn't fucking have one because that would have blown the whole fast. I'd have to do it again, you know? So I was yeah. grumpy. I was really grumpy. And finally we get, you know, close to when it's supposed to open. So I'm standing outside the door of the lab and I can see in, and there's a woman behind the desk and I don't know, she's doing something on a computer or whatever. And I'm like, I know she sees me out here, you know? I know she knows I'm here. I know it's like really close. Could you like, you know, do something? And I'm just like agitated because I'm unwell. Like, I mean, seriously, I'm on the verge yeah, of going into anemia because I hadn't eaten this long.
This
right?
is kind of the thing about Jen. I mean, generally speaking, you know, she's adorable. But in her, if her blood sugar starts to really get past a certain level, then things.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's the blood sugar, yeah, but it's not like a diabetic thing. It has to do with being anemic. I mean, you get to a point where your body's like telling well, you do something, you know?
Everyone.
It's like fighting for survival kind of thing.
I think everyone, you know? When they've been, you know, deprived of just kind of a base level of nutrients, after a while, you just start to get, you know, irritable and.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, this is not a normal state of being. You're not supposed to do this, you right. know? So I'm waiting, and a woman comes up with two little kids, and she's waiting, and we're waiting together. And the lady behind the desk is doing nothing. Glances over, sees us, isn't doing a damn thing, right? It's like really close to noon, or it's already noon, or one. I mean, it's already one. It's like, come on, you know, let's go. And the medical assistant from my doctor's office walks down the hall and she goes, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting for the lab to open up. I didn't, you know, and she turned around. She's like, they're closed. You know? And I'm like, yeah, I guess they went for lunch. And she's like, oh, like she had no idea that yeah. this could occur. So I'm wondering here. All right. Does the lab normally not go for lunch and close? You know? Or do they always? And nobody told the office, you know, across the way there, you know. So I'm waiting. And we get in, and the she opens the door, and I come in, and the other lady comes in with her two kids. And I walk up with my papers for, you know, this is the lab work. I'm supposed to hand you this paper. And I'm standing at the desk, and she's, like, doing something on a computer and not doing anything. And then she, like, grabs a... she puts a sign up that says, no one can help you now, sign in over here on the clipboard. And she goes, yeah, sign in on the clipboard. I'm like, okay, you know, there's two people here. You can't handle this, you know? I mean, so I sign the clipboard and she calls me up in a minute and I hand her the work and, you know, she looks through it and she goes, well, when did you start, you know, when did you start fasting? And I told her what time. She goes, we haven't had any coffee. You haven't had any mints. You haven't had any. And I'm like, no, I've had nothing. I've absolutely nothing. And she goes, well, it's been almost 14 hours. We're really not supposed to, you know, that's like the edge of where we're supposed to do this. You should have been in here before. And I said, well, I was here, but you were at lunch.
Yeah.
She just looked at me, you know, it's like, don't tell a person that's been fasting that is their fault that they're here too late because you were on a break. You know what I mean? You couldn't have another person in here. There's no other human that can possibly take blood in this entire medical center that could like cover for you. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. So I go in and she takes two vials of blood, not four, which is what I was told. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then she wants a urine sample, which no one told me about, you know? And I'm like, I haven't had any water in this entire fast. And she's like, well, you're supposed to be drinking more water when you're fasting. I'm like, nobody tells me this, you know? I have no idea. So I give her like a minute sample and figure that's it. I'm out of here. Let's go find a steak. And we did, you know, and, you know, I had to wait a week to go to the doctor to see the results. So I come in, and they do the whole, like, you know, they check your weight and do your blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I was like, just there, like, you know, not that long ago, but whatever. You know, I don't know how much weight I'm supposed to have changed in that amount of time, but they test it anyway. You know?
They do all that
they
stuff.
They do. It's like, I don't know, man, whatever, here, great, fine, I don't care, right? So the doctor comes in to talk to me, and she asks how much pain I'm in. And I'm telling her, you know, this much here, that much there. She started the first time asking me about a pain scale, you know. So now we do that. Now it's, you know, what level of pain are you in and what part of your body is what we're doing now. And so she says that the, she shows me the results on the computer. And it's all numbers. I don't know. Some of them are red and some of them are not. And I don't know. And she says that there's like four things they test for specifically for rheumatoid arthritis. And I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, okay, wait, you know, because I was concerned about this. I was concerned. I was going to be told, you don't have it. It's all in your head. You're not sick. You're not really feeling stiff joints and joint pain. No, your joints aren't swelling. None of that. Mm-mm, all in your head. And, you know, I don't have rheumatoid arthritis, she says, but she is going to run it by a specialist in case she missed something, because she is not a specialist right on this. So she's going to coordinate with that guy and then get back to me, I guess, you know. But the lab work showed other things that were completely unexpected. And one of them was that I had a bacteria count that was really high. I'm like, what's this for? You know, I don't know, you know. And I mean, I thought I fought off the sinus infection. I'm like, it's the only thing I could think of. You know, what's this, right? And she says, well, it's a urinary tract infection. I'm like, well, that's weird, because that's the one, like, I'm going to be blunt here. If you have a urinary tract infection, it burns when you pee. That is not what I was experiencing. I was fine. You know, I had no idea what she was talking about. And then she tells me that, like, she puts her hands kind of on her back, sort of like if you had a backache where your hands would go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, it involves, you know, flank pain. And I'm like, oh, well, I've had that for I don't know how long, you know? So yeah, the sinus infection, I didn't fight it off. It just went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the symptoms.
It went to your flank.
It did. So it's like, it's kind of where your kidneys are, but not, it's not really, you know, something like right around there. So, yeah, you know, so there's my PSA for everyone. That indicates an infection. Who knew, you know? So she put me on antibiotics.
Go get your flanks checked, everybody.
I know. But I mean, that's kind of scary, because that means I didn't fight off the infection. You know, it just went somewhere else. So now that's something else to look for, you know, in the future. Anyway, so she, you know, says, well, you know, we're going to put you on an antibiotic and you'll be fine. I'm like, okay, I can tell you the antibiotics that don't work for me anymore because I've developed a tolerance to them. So we go through that and we pick one that's new to me, but that I've heard of. And I figure, okay, I'll try that. You know, fine. And the other thing she finds is, this is the weirdest thing ever, I am like incredibly deficient in vitamin D, like scary numbers deficient in vitamin D. Okay. And she's looking at me, she's going, I don't know how this happens. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't go out in the sun where I'm in sunny California. I can't go out in the sun because, first of all, I burn. You know, secondly, being outdoors, I'm being exposed to pollen and all that stuff, and that's just not healthy for me. You know, if I go outside, I have to like really coat up with, you know, sunscreen. If I'm going to be outside longer than from getting to the car to the grocery store, you know, I need sunscreen. So I'm blocking all of that anyway, you know? So there's that. A lot of people get vitamin D from the sun and they're fine. And the other thing is I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't get it from dairy products. Right. I've been avoiding dairy products, you know, only getting small little amounts of it since I was 17, and I'm 41. So now I have a giant vitamin D deficiency, you know?
You're vitamin D deficient.
Right. You know, and, you know, I didn't even know that could happen like that. No one's ever told me anything about this. I mean, if any of your doctors ask, you know, how many vitamins you have or anything.
No.
You know, that was just bizarre, you know. So I'm explaining to her, I know exactly how this happened. And I tell her all that. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks that the vitamin D deficiency, to the extraordinary level that I have it, could be causing some of the symptoms that seem like arthritis. Okay.
Yeah.
So she's not, you know, she says vitamin D does a lot of stuff. Let's, you know, so she gives me a prescription vitamin D, right? I get four of them in this little bottle and I can take them only once a week because they're strong, right?
I think you should just take them all in one day.
No.
And then get and all then, the see, vitamin
here's,
D power.
Here's the other problem with that, though, is going out into the sun for too long, in addition to burning, I get sun poisoning, which is an overproduction of vitamin D too quickly. And then you get nauseous and your body doesn't process it anyway. So that won't work either. So, I mean, I've never heard of prescription vitamins, you know, for vitamin D like this. Like, they make those, you know?
No, it really does sound like something that, you know, they would normally only prescribe to, like, really old people, you know?
Yeah.
Like your prescription level of vitamin D.
I know. So this is what I have. And the other thing that came up really high was latex. And I don't know why they tested for latex, but they did. And when I went in to get the blood draw, there was a sign on the wall that says, let us know if you're, you know, if you have a problem with latex. And so I told, you know, the woman right away, okay, I can't, I'm allergic to latex. I can't do latex gloves, any of that. You need to, you know, and she goes, okay, and goes digging through a thing to try to find some sealed gloves that are non-latex, you know, and I'm like, what's up with this, you know?
Yeah.
Because in the other doctor's office, everything is non-latex. So I'm like, y'all don't communicate, do you? You know, you couldn't like send a box down the hall, you know?
No,
I don't know.
No.
So I wonder, I don't know if maybe, like, I don't know if the doctor specifically said, go test her for latex, you know? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Because she was believing me about all my other allergies. I have had doctors tell me, you know, oh, no, you're not allergic to that. Oh, yeah, I am. Really, trust me, I have already been tested. This doctor, she's believing me because I sound like I know what I'm talking about, because I do. I've had years to try to figure out what the hell is wrong with me. I'm pretty good at it by now, you know, and I've got all this documentation, which I can bring in if I need to, you know. So I don't know who called for the latex test, but someone did. And it's like through the roof as well. And she's like, yeah, I don't know why this is. I'm like, well, I'm allergic to latex. She's like, oh, well, you're stuck with that still. They can't fix that one. There's nothing. There's no, like, you know, antibiotic. There's no vitamin. You're just stuck with this allergy. And I don't know why on earth they tested that specifically. You know?
Well, I gotta wonder if that was just some thing that they test for, I don't know, as like a standard.
That could have been maybe a standard
or something.
Thing.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you got it, which you already knew.
So. Yeah, I already knew that, but now I've got documentation, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I every new doctor I get, I tend to perplex them and they look at me as a puzzle, which is about right, you know. But this doctor, she said she likes patients that are educated, like both about, you know, their own health and as to, like, you know, like why I thought I might have had arthritis. You know, I had all that background on that. So she likes that. You know, that's good. I think there might be some doctors out there that are intimidated if a patient knows more about their own body.
Did you tell her you have
does.
A degree from college?
No.
And that's why she likes educated patients. So if I went in there, she wouldn't want me as
that's
a
not what she meant.
Patient.
But that's not what she meant. But anyway,
did
so
you go, I have a degree.
Yeah.
I'm an educated patient. Listen to me. Give me all the drugs.
Right. Yeah, that's how it works.
I have a degree.
Well, she gave me all the drugs. She gave me an antibiotic and she gave me these really high powered vitamins, you know,
HPVs.
That are prescription only. They are not HPVs. That is something else entirely. So, yeah. Anyway, so the thing
so
is, like, okay.
Vitamin D comes from the sun.
Yeah.
Then if you just take all those vitamin D pills, wouldn't you just become the sun?
No. So, in any way,
you couldn't be like, I am the sun. I am now the sun. I have become a star. Worship me. Or I will burn you alive with
start
my sun
my
powers.
Own cult there, yeah. No.
Sun powers. You got them.
Okay, so the point of all this is, I apparently don't have rheumatoid arthritis, but they are still checking on that to confirm it with a specialist. And that would be a good thing, because if I had it, it would mean that, like, my joints had been deteriorating.
You mean
what?
Rheumatoid arthritis, a.k.a. R.A., a.k.a. Ra, the sun god.
No. But, you know, it's a good thing to know that I don't have it, because it would have meant that my joints had been deteriorating all this time. And I don't know, not done something that might have slowed it or whatever.
So now your joints are improving?
No, they're not. That's the other thing. They're not. They're the same as they were. But, you know, maybe the vitamin D will do something with that. I've gone through the antibiotic and I have no more flank pain. And so I'm thinking
flank.
That's better. And then, you know, I just took one of the vitamin D's yesterday, and that was a weird experience. I mean, it wasn't like, that was weird.
Because we should say that you got all these pills.
Right.
We're recording this on Sunday.
Right.
You got all these pills the Wednesday before.
So this has just been my last couple of days.
You were supposed to, you take the vitamin D once a week.
Right.
And you were supposed to take the antibiotics for 3 days. So I said, you know what, why don't you get the antibiotics out of the way before you start taking the vitamin D?
Well, that makes sense because antibiotics can make you physically ill. And I'd never taken this one. And I didn't want to take the vitamin and take the antibiotic and basically not have an opportunity for the vitamin to absorb. You know, like, let's not be stupid here and take a chance. So got rid of the, you know, got through all the antibiotic, you know, whole deal, and took the vitamin D yesterday. And that's a weird situation, man. I don't know how to explain
it. Vitamin D, what did it do to you?
I don't know how to explain it, but I felt different. Not like high, because that's like what antihistamines do sometimes. It wasn't like that. It wasn't.
So what you're saying is that you reached a kind of level of normalcy that everyone else just feels. Like.
I might have, you know, hit the edge of the iceberg on that one, you know, I mean, just a little bit. And it was like, what is this? You know, what is this? What is this?
If we can think that most people, you know, are on a good day, just kind of wandering around in life, maybe around a 7 or an 8. But a normal day for Jen is more like a 4 and a half.
Yeah.
You might have gotten up to 6.
No, I might have gotten up to like 4 3/4 or something. You know?
Maybe but 5.
I don't know. I don't
Maybe
think
5.
I wouldn't say
Come
that
on,
far.
We can go for 5.
But it was just kind of strange, you know, when that happened. So I expect that'll happen again as they take the rest of these.
Well,
and we'll see what happens. But like the point of all this, you know, other than, you know, sounding like an old person sharing all their, you know, ailments. at least I have interesting ones. The point is, I went in for a test for arthritis and they found things I would never have thought to ask about. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of remarkable.
Well, and
I mean, who would have guessed a vitamin D deficiency? Like, a huge deficiency.
I mean,
not just a little, like, huge. Like, you need prescription vitamins, not just vitamins you can buy at the store. I mean, I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the thing about all this is it's like, okay, so for a good, year or so, really, because, well, a little over, we've kind of known that you've had some issues, you know, joint-wise.
Right.
And just kind of you went, oh, well, I got the arthritis. It's done. We done. Let's go home and live our lives. Until, you know, my frozen joints are so,
yeah,
you know, creaky that they don't work anymore.
Until I turn into the Tin Man, you know? I mean, really. Yeah. And honestly, if they would have said, oh, you have arthritis, that would have been the same. They can't fix it.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, it wouldn't have changed. They just would have had documentation. But, you know, this is interesting. And we don't know for sure I don't have it. It just seems like I don't have it. You know, the specialist might see something the doctor didn't, and we could be right back, you know, to where we were. But these other two things would never have been caught if I didn't go in. And
so,
it'll be interesting to see what the vitamin D does. Now, it's not going to cure my allergies. That's
no,
impossible.
Of course
okay?
not.
Okay, it's not. It might make me slightly less exhausted all the time, you know? Because I've been, like, the last time I had energy to do anything, I think I was about 10 years old.
Hmm.
Honestly, I've been exhausted from that point on.
Energy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it's the vitamin D. I mean, that would be a simple solution to the chronic fatigue, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm not diagnosed with. I'm just using it as a descriptor. But I don't know what it's going to do to the joint pain, because that's still here. I've only taken one. I didn't expect it to magically disappear, but if it's not arthritis, then what's doing it? Now, the other theory is it has to do with inflammation, which it has to do with allergies, which get worse on days like today when the pollen count is medium high, and it'll be worse for the next 3 days when it's high. But yeah, there's nothing you can do about that, you know? So that's where I'm at.
Well, I'm glad that it's something that, as it turns out, can be treated. You know, we'll have to see over time if it really makes any difference.
Well, I mean, the deficiency can be treated.
Well, that's what
There's
I mean.
There's a course of action to have you go from, like, an incredibly scary vitamin D deficiency to normal, right? It's pretty simple to do.
Normal.
And that we can do. What we don't know is if it's going to make any difference in everything else that's wrong with me. So
well, no one knows that.
I know. So I figured I'd try it.
You got the vitamin D.
Yeah, so now that I'm boring everyone with all my health problems, right? At least they're weird health problems.
You have become the sun. You are now the sun. Congratulations. How do you like being the sun?
No.
So, you know, we really, there's nothing, I mean, I don't know. There's not really anything going on so much to talk about. I have obviously talked on the show over the course of, the last however many months it's been, about my whole work situation. And, you know, it's getting better from the sense of going from, like, nothing to sort of something. We had, you know, Jen and I both do freelance work, and we had for us a pretty good month in January, and we're probably going to have a fairly good month in February.
And but then we think the a source, particular project is going to be done.
The source of that work has an end point that we'll probably
reach.
You
could just say it's a project, there's an end point. It probably won't. Yeah. It's not going to last forever.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been nice. And last week, I actually was hired on to be a part of a team, but it is the partest of part-time jobs. It's something that will kind of help me to supplement my freelance work, but by no means is it a job. Like, even if, like, if you went out and got yourself, like, I'm just talking in terms of hours. You know, if you went out and got yourself a part-time job, you know, down at the Kmart, you'd get more hours in a month than I'm going to get from this job. Now, I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying,
you're putting it into perspective.
I don't want anybody who's listening to this thinking, oh, yeah, you know, your whole job thing is finally over with. Yay for you. No, you can still feel sorry for us and send us money through hypernosis.com/support. But the thing is, I am actually kind of excited about it because I'm going to be doing some support for Raw Voice, which is a long-standing podcasting company. If you only listen to pods, you probably aren't that familiar with them, but if you are a podcaster, you probably are at least somewhat familiar with Raw Voice. Their big brand is it's called Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com, and it's a podcast directory, and it's also a suite of services that they provide for podcasters. Their kind of flagship thing is they design a WordPress plugin called PowerPress that a lot of podcasters use, including us. We used it since it first came out. And I've been a big fan of this company pretty much since the beginning because, well, the company was founded by Todd Cochran, and he's been into podcasting pretty much since the beginning. And
it's very well known. Yeah,
yeah, but and it's cool, you know, for me to work for a podcasting company. It's a very small company, and really the main objective for me is when people need help with their products on social media forums. You know, I try to become their first point of contact in the sense of, you know, they go, hey, I got this question about PowerPress, or hey, I'm having this issue with PowerPress. then, you know, I jump in and go, hey, you know, I'm here on behalf of the makers of the product. Here's what you should do. Or, you know, if I can't specifically give them help, then I can kind of send them in the direction of the help that they need. So they're trying to just get out there more. And this is one of those things that happens. I mean, it happens with any kind of technology or any kind of just anything, really, where, you know, these online communities form around a topic or a subject, and that's fine. But then people go on there and they ask questions or they look for support for, you know, specific things instead of going back to, you know, the source. And there's a lot of different reasons why that happens, and it's just part of the nature of living in, you know, the connected 21st century, I guess. And in this case, Raw Voice is just trying to kind of capture those times when people put those questions out, so at least they're not just completely either left out there to hang, or they're not out there perhaps getting the wrong advice, or perhaps getting advice from maybe a competitor of theirs who's trying to kind of steer them away from, you know, their services. So that's what I'll be doing. And I've done a little bit of it so far, but I'm still pretty new in it. And we'll, you know, see how it goes. You know, it's not, like I said earlier, it's not like a whole, you know, I'm in for life, full-time job I'm taking care of, but it is going to make me a little more money, which is always helpful. And the part that's really cool for me is I get to work for a company I really like, and I get to work with people that I think are cool.
And that's always good.
It's around, you know, it's around what I want to do. I mean, I don't know, like, anymore even. You know, everything is so weird. Like, I don't think anymore that you can just be, with rare occasion or in very rare circumstances, you can just kind of be a person with a job anymore. I mean, you can. I don't know. If you become a heart surgeon, okay, you can do that. You know, if you become the world's greatest lawyer, you can do that, though. I know some lawyers who are also fairly prominent podcasters, and they don't, not podcasting about lawyer stuff.
No.
But my point is that I just kind of feel like what I want to get to is a point where all these little things I'm doing can be rolled enough into a big thing that it's enough that I don't have to just go out and take a job working for the man. I mean, pretty much at this point, all I got left is, like, I haven't applied. I almost did back in December. I almost applied at Target, and I was going to apply online, and the job application website went down.
So that's a sign. Don't do that yet. You know?
So I had like a million other things to do that day, and I had, you know, slotted time to do that first, and it wasn't working. And I said, screw it, I'm coming back to this later. And it never happened. So I figure I've got some opportunity there, and like after that, you know, all I got left is Carl's Jr. After that, I got nothing left because I've applied for
everything.
I've applied at Starbucks. I've applied at, you know, dollar stores. I've applied at, you know, I do this thing in my head now where I go around town and I just kind of have this mental, I'm keeping kind of this mental track of places I applied for jobs that never, like, I never even got a call back at. Granted, I think I only got a call back from three places.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I was just like, oh, yeah, there's a place I applied for that didn't hire me. And then I was actually in one of those places a few days ago. And, you know, there's a girl behind the counter, and I hear her talking to somebody like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, it's just, I'm still new. It's like, I've only been here for like 2 or 3 days. It's like, oh, they hired somebody.
Yeah. Yeah,
not
I did.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. This is where I'm at in life. And, you know, we've said that hopefully, if nothing else, this podcast brings you a certain amount of just relief of your own life. Because maybe
it could be worse.
It's not as bad as ours.
Yeah.
So we got a bit of a problem. Now, we haven't had a reason to go back here in a while.
Hmm?
But I'm afraid to say that we're going to have to... That's right. We're going to have to revisit the desert island. Just going to hang out here for a while. Out here on our desert island. Doing nothing. Nobody out here. No one out here. Let's just be on a desert island.
Okay, that's really loud.
The tide's coming in.
No.
You can rescue us from our desert island. You can send us an email. You can leave us an iTunes review. Leave a comment on the website. Tweet us at HyperNonsense. Or you can listen to these really loud waves. These aren't waves, by the way. These are actual waves.
Okay, I think you got the point there.
No. Nope. On a desert island. We're on it. It's a desert island. So I got this.
You got what?
A Santa Barbara candy shop owner delivered a surprise at a city council meeting, but he did not gift city officials with any sweets. John Webby, the owner of Webby's Candy Company, which just sounds like fun. I want to go to Webby's Candy Company.
Mm-hmm.
Used rubber gloves to pull a sex toy out of a bag and show it off to the Santa Barbara Council during a public comment period. Webby said he found the device on a State Street bench across the street from his downtown shop.
Oh, God. So he decided to pick it up.
I hope he picked it up with that glove as well. The candy salesman said his customers saw the sex toy and it embarrassed them. Webby's plea to the city is that workers finish removing benches in the area that are frequented by homeless people.
Oh, my. You think a homeless person left this here?
Webby threatened to make the problem a campaign issue. Santa Barbara Mayor Helene Schneider said the downtown organization and police are working on the issue. She invited Webby to get involved. Schneider also said that at first she thought Webby might be threatening council members when he was pulling something out of a bag.
Well, yeah.
It was a different kind of threat.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So he finds this outside his shop and he thinks his customers have been embarrassed by it. I don't know why he thinks this or if somebody told him that.
Well, you can't take your kids to the candy shop if there's a big old dildy hanging out front.
I mean, I don't know. Did he get complaints or is this his assumption? I don't know. And he's decided that the solution to this problem is to remove benches so homeless people can't be there. That's kind of a leap of logic, you know?
Well,
I mean, why would you think that this is here because a homeless person left it here? That's bizarre.
I'm guessing that the thinking is you remove the benches. I mean, first of all, if you're a candy shop, I mean, you don't want a bunch of homeless hanging out front, so you want to get rid of those
but
benches.
But he's using this, you know, the sex toy he found, he's using that to say, look, you know, this is what's happening outside my shop. Could you do something about it? And, you know, his could you do something about it wasn't, could you hire people to go down this street early in the morning before the shops open and, like, clear away debris, which would have been logical, you know? He's asking all the benches be removed to get rid of homeless people. Like, I think he wanted to get rid of homeless people first, and this somehow decided that this was his route to kind of get it to the council, which is bizarre.
Well, he's trying to prove to them that, you know, these homeless are escalating. It's one thing when they just hang out all day and ask passersby if they can help them, you know, finance a Mr. Goodbar. It's a whole other deal when, you know, they're leaving their Sex toys?
Yeah, but I don't know why you would assume a homeless person left it there.
Well,
that's bizarre.
Who else is using a dildy outside?
That doesn't mean they necessarily used it. Someone purchased it. Is there a shop across the way that sells them? I don't know. You know? Is there a shop on that street that sells them? We don't know this.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when I worked in Barnes & Noble, somebody had purchased a vibrator from somewhere. We don't know where, because there isn't a shop like this in San Luis Obispo near the Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. I don't think there is anywhere.
There wasn't one near the Barnes & Noble. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they walked next door or something. And they must have taken it out of the bag they'd purchased it in, maybe to show their friend or something. And they actually left it. It was still within the packaging, you know, on a shelf. So... Like, they put it down to pick up a book or to pick up their coffee or something and didn't think to grab it again, you know, for some reason. And so it was a worker found it on the shelf, removed it, and put it in the lost and found.
Of course.
You know, and I guess there was a bag. It was in a bag, you know.
Okay.
So they must have, you know, taken it out of, like, you know, they had a bag with them. They put it down. They picked up a book or something and left it or I don't know, you know, took it out to show their friend. Look what I got. You know, I don't know. We had a history of people, young people, not children, but like, I don't know, late teen, early 20s going into the section where the sex books were and opening up the books and going, I've done this. I've done that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
On the sitting there, you know, I mean, very open people, you know. So it was found. It was still in the packaging. It wasn't, you know. And so when you find something, you put it in the lost and found. And so the whole day, people are like, look in the lost and found. Look in the lost and found. I'm like, why? Look in the lost and found. Okay. So I look in the lost and found in the bag. I'm like, yeah, nobody's coming for this. Nobody's coming back to say, did you find my sex toy? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think necessarily that the device this man had found had necessarily been used, you know?
I think in this case, you know, if he's handling it with a glove, it's probably no longer in the original packaging.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. It's just nobody at Barnes & Noble decided to, like, you know, have the homeless barred from the store as a result, you know? I mean...
Well, hopefully that person didn't, you know, leave that sex toy in, like, the children's department.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. People did leave books there. Like, people were intending to have kids see that, and that just pisses me off. But, yeah. No, they found it somewhere in the store that wasn't the kids section. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
This was years ago, because I haven't worked there in years, but...
True.
Yeah.
So then, whatever happened to the thing that went in the lost and found?
I don't know. I think stuff just gets thrown out after a while.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got anything else?
Mm-mm, no. I have nothing else other than after a conversation about a sex toy found in a bookstore. That's it.
Show carries an explicit tag if you didn't.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Hyper Nonsense. You can find us on the web of the worldwide at hypernonsense.com. I don't feel like we use the term World Wide Web enough anymore. Yeah. I want to bring back that information superhighway.
Sure.
It's just not done enough anymore.
Let's not use superhighway, because that kind of implies, like, toll booths, and let's not put that into people's minds, you know.
Well, yeah, it's the
let's not use that one.
Information two-lane highway, maybe information freeway.
There you go. Okay, that works.
You can find us at our web, hypernonsense.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @hypernonsense. You can go to hypernonsense.com/iTunes. You can leave us a review. We'd love for you to do that. And if you do that and you want us to read it on the show, maybe take a screenshot of it and email it to us or tweet it to us or something. Because there just ain't no good way to get those no more without paying money. And
we don't have that.
You can't do that, so... you can email us at show@hypernonsense.com. Please join our Google Plus community, not to be confused with our Google Plus page. But join our community. You know, it would really make me happy if we could get the Google Plus community up to 10 members. I think we're at 6.
So 10 sounds like a reasonable goal.
10 would be nice. It might be more listeners than we have.
Yeah, maybe.
So it might be just wishful thinking, too much beyond that. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And with any luck, we'll be back with you next week.
Bye, people. Oh, 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 oh